Subbing. Rabbi Jonathan Levy is not feeling well, so I'm subbing. But
taking his place.
Yeah. Just for now. It's a different shiur anyway. But, the point is that everyone's learning. What you're learning doesn't really matter. Whatever you want, it's good. Learn with me. Learn on your own. I have no hard feelings either way. Fine. Just 1 second, and then we'll get started. Okay, fine. So, happens to be at Sukkot. There's a great story Rabbi Ben Chaim likes to say about a few people who are sitting around, a few friends sitting around. One of them pulls out a pair of tefillin, says, "Look at these tefillin. They're beautiful, gorgeous. They fulfill all the opinions. There's this size, that ribua regel, and perudot, and look at the parashiyot, look at the way they're written, the cloth, the ink, everything is gorgeous, amazing, as mehadrin as it gets." His friend takes out his tzitzit, says, "Look at my tzitzit, all the opinions, Rav Ben Chaim, Rav Shechter, this, that, whatever, tchelet, no tchelet." His friend takes out his lulav, "Look at my dairy lulav, it's massive, it's closed." Friend takes out his aravo, nothing to see there, but he takes out his hadasim, "Look at my rashi hadasim, my gorgeous, massive teimani etrog, and the other etrogim I carry at the same time." Each one takes out a mitzvah, and he tries to show off. "Wow, it's amazing." So one guy takes out his wallet, takes out a dollar bill. See this dollar bill? It's mehadrim and a mehadrim. There's no gezel, there's no ribit, there are no averas that were incurred in earning this dollar. It's perfectly mehadrin. Rabbi Ben Chaim says, it's funny, we focus so much, I have to have the best whatever. We lose sight sometimes of how important it is to have just a clean wallet, to make sure that everything is kosher on the inside. Another introductory point. Rav Chaim Falaji was the chief rabbi of Izmir. He was the Chacham Bashi of Izmir, the Ottoman Empire, whatever it is. And his son, 200 years ago, Rav Yitzchak Falaji, wrote a sefer called Yafel Alev. In it, he makes an important point. Sometimes people say, "Rabbi, come check out my sukkah. Is my sukkah kosher? Come look. Is this wall chazun ish, that dofen akum over there? Is this lovewood string okay?" He says, "The rabbi comes to check out the guy's sukkah on his roof. Does the rabbi check to make sure that there is a ma'akeh, there's a guardrail, a fence around the roof?" Says the rabbi's job is not just to tell him that your sukkah is kosher. His job is to also tell him that you're keeping safe. V'nishmartem me'od l'nafshoteichem. It's a mitzvah that is all year round. You have to be safe. You have to be smart. The rabbis, says the Yafel Alev, should be the building inspectors. They should go around and make sure that everybody is keeping safe and doing things properly. So I thought it would be appropriate discuss for a few minutes some halachot of mamonot, some halachot of choshen mishpat related to Sukkot. Three different cases that we'll discuss, and we'll end it at that. It won't be too long. As related to Sukkot, I happen to learn in the Yadin Kolel in YU, so I have a lot of time to learn these topics. This year, this past Zeman, we learned the halachot of Chovel and Mazik, of damaging another fellow, but also some of his property. I thought there are a few interesting cases that are born out of the relevance to Sukkot that could teach us a lot. Case number one. Staying up all night long, Hoshana Rabbah. Tomorrow morning, I'm driving to Passaic, New Jersey. So, is it such a smart thing to do, to stay up all night long, no nap, and start driving? It's pretty unsafe. It's happened before. There have been numerous cases recorded. People drove, said, "I'll give you a ride, no problem, come with me." They asked the guy, "You're feeling okay? You look a little bit tired." He's like, "I'm fine, don't worry. I slept plenty last night." Get in the car, start driving. The guy crashes, gets into an accident, and the passengers suffer tremendous medical damage. They have to pay a lot of bills. The driver should have to pay. What do you think? Well, let's see. The Torah tells us, Adam Hamazik, a person who damages another fellow, is chayav in chamisha divarim, in five different categories of damages. He has to pay for five different things. Number one is nezek. You damage the guy's body. He used to have a hand, let's say, and he no longer has a hand. How do we evaluate the value of a hand? The Gemara says, you say, how much would a servant, a slave, cost in the market down in Wall Street with the hand, and how much would it cost without the hand? Subtract the difference, that's how much you have to pay. Then there's tsar, the pain inflicted on the person without losing the body, the limb. How much does that cost? Ripui, medical expenses. Shevet, employment, wages lost. And also boshet, the humiliation that the person feels now that you've done this to him, and afterwards people will see him this way. These are the five things we have to collect. Your adam is muad la'olam. A person is responsible for his actions. He's always chayav. Whereas animals have all sorts of different categories of damages, adam muad la'olam, a person is always muad. He's always responsible. He always has to pay attention. So you always have to pay everything, given there was intention, such as when if you humiliate someone by accident, you know, you open the stall door and there's someone inside and everyone sees, you don't have to pay for that if you did it unintentionally, because it was shelo bechavana. But that's bullshit only. Other things, you have to pay right away, whatever it is. And the problem is that nowadays we don't have simicha and batei din, so you can only collect really nowadays primarily medical expenses as well as employment, wages lost, and the rest, Beit Din can't force a guy to pay you, but we can tell him, you have to pay whatever will make the guy happy, whatever will make the victim happy. That's what we do nowadays in Beit Din, because we don't have simicha. Simicha was given to Moshe Rabbeinu by Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu gave it to Yeshua. Yeshua gave it to Zekenim, and eventually it petered out. So we no longer have simicha, but we can't judge monetary cases without this thing called simicha. Today we have imitation simicha. It's not really worth anything, just permission to be a rabbi. But in terms of collecting money in Beit Din, we can't do that, except for certain things. That would be things that are common and things that are a regular loss, such as medical expenses and wages lost. Now, Adam Muad La'olam. The guy is driving. He got into an accident. Should have to pay. Very straightforward, right? There is another example. There is one exception. The guy didn't intend to hurt anybody. He didn't intend to crash the car. That would be pretty bad. He wasn't trying to knock out an enemy or himself. He was just trying to drive. He didn't want to drive from New York to Toronto, wherever it is. It's a long ride. He got drowsy, fell asleep behind the wheel, and he crashed. He didn't sleep enough the night before, whatever it is. The Gemara says that Adam is chayav in ones. I didn't expect this to happen. I'm an anus. I was forced. This was an accident. The Gemara says you're still chayav. Adam mu'ad la'olam, a person is always responsible, even in an accident. There's one exception to that, perhaps. It's a machloket. Tosafot thinks that the ones gadol, a person would be patur if it's an ones gadol. If it's such an accident that you could never have fathomed this would happen, it's totally out of your control, then you are patur, an ones gadol. Now, it's a machloket. What the Rambam thinks especially is a machloket, but let's just go with Shulchan Aruch for now, that Adam Hamazik Ones Gamur, a person who damages in a total accident, freak accident, is patur. So says Rav Vazner, seemingly I was driving, I didn't intend to fall asleep, it was beyond my control. I did whatever I could, I still fell asleep behind the wheel, and I damaged somebody. That should be called Ones Gamur. I should be totally patur from damages, yeah.
You could have slept before.
So what? That was a mistake I made before, but right now in the moment, it was an accident.
It's something that could have very possibly could have stumbled in.
One more thing.
The stats say that you might fall asleep.
Right.
So why are you going to say it's like full onus?
You're saying...
Full onus means that doesn't usually happen.
Mm-hmm.
You usually do fall asleep after staying up all night.
But in the moment that I'm driving, is there anything I could have done? I'm totally exhausted. There's no way I can stay awake. Is there anything I can do to stay awake? No, I fell asleep. I tried.
Just stop driving.
Pull over. But I'm lost all my faculties. I can't. At the moment that you close your eyes, you're not in control. That should be called ones gamur. So Rav Vazner thinks like this, that let's say you're driving from New York to Toronto, it's however many hours of ride. So the first hour, if you fall asleep, it's totally your fault. The last hour, you're driving for so long, you're so exhausted. You should be patur. That's what he thought. Rav Avadia says like you too. He's totally wrong. For two reasons, we both said. Very good. Number one, ones gamur means you're ones gamur. Total ones. Here, you could have slept last night. You're posheya. You were negligent. Your negligence resulted in your ones. That's called techilato bipshia. Started off negligent. Vesofo beones. Ended up being an accident. But it started with your accident, with your negligence. When you start with negligence, there is no pitur of ones gamur. Therefore, you're 100% chayav. It's 40,000, whatever it was for the guy's medical bills you have to pay. That's one point. And the other point, Rav Avadya says, is that before you actually fall asleep, pull over. And then wait. Do whatever you have to do. Stop driving. You don't have to wait until you're out of it. Once you feel drowsy, I know. I'm sitting in yeshiva. The first yawn means that 10 minutes later, I'm going to be drowsy. I know. That's exactly what happens. Every day, 9:45 a.m., 10 a.m., the first yawn, I'm drowsy 10 minutes later. So I know, I get up at the first yawn, go to the bathroom, go get a coffee, and come back. I know that. You know you didn't sleep last night, you know you're tired right now, stop driving. Shalom Yisrael. That's what Rav Avadya said. Rav Azner had this other thought, but obviously we find it to be more compelling the other way. That so techilato b'pshia, the sof onus is hatur. So should I be driving tomorrow morning? No. Should take a nap, maybe drive afterwards, drink a coffee, and then pull over if I have to. Or my wife will drive, whatever it is. That's number one. Now, tomorrow night, and the hakafot. Hakafot can be very exciting depending on where you go to Kenisa. Is it crazy here? Is it crazier over there? Rabbi Shub and Rabbi Cohen? And not tomorrow night. Past Farad Hashem. Not tomorrow night. Some places do tomorrow night also, but more chill. You know, the Sephardi Minyan and Pesach always announces at the end of Arvit, on Shmini Atzeret, we are noheg to do Hakafot tonight also, and everyone peters out quickly runs away before they start. But okay, Simchat Torah night, it's crazier over there or crazy over here? Here it's crazier? So wherever it's crazier, most likely people get hurt. Yeah? So the Trumat HaDeshen, lives in the 1400s, whatever, in Ashkenaz, has an important halacha the Shulchan Aruch does not accept. But Trumat HaDeshen says, things are getting crazy on Hoshana Rabbah, and during the Hakafot, you know, slam into somebody, hurt somebody, break something, Patur. Because it's normal, everyone, we know that you expect everyone to be going crazy. If you're there, you realize that you're going to get hurt, huh? All my friends are doing it. You know, the Shulchan Aruch says a different case. Now, let's say there are two people who are fighting. They're brawling, you know, wrestling. And one of them accidentally, you know, blinds the other one in the wrestling. He hurts the other one. It's patur. Because by engaging in wrestling with another guy, you know you're going to get hurt. So the fact that he accidentally hurt you, too bad. So the Truman Edition has a similar idea. About Purim, everyone's drunk on Purim and someone punches you in the face, doesn't have to pay you. Breaks your stuff, drunk guy is knocking on your car door, doesn't have to pay. But and Hoshanot also, the Shulchan Aruch does not accept this though, so don't try this here. Huh? If you want to try this, go down the street, Old Mill Road, make a right, and try it in Great Neck Synagogue or in Young Israel, and then you'd be Patur, according to them. According to us, you would be chayav. So don't try this at home. Fine. That's the Tirumat HaDeshen, the quote by the Rama. Now, that was case number two. Case number three, just which is really the heavier case. Case number three is a wonderful case. Now that Sukkot, we went through tonight, staying up all night, went through Simchat Torah, Hakafot, a little bit crazy. The third case, the Sukkot, end of Sukkot, Dinei Mamonot, that I just wanted to discuss, is Motzai Sukkah. You take the sukkah down, and you don't have one of those bamboo sechach mats. You have branches. You don't store branches. You throw them in the garbage, and you get new ones next year. So what do? You have all these branches that you have. You throw them outside. Put them on the sidewalk. Put them on the street corner, wherever you dump your garbage. It's too big to fit in the garbage area, though. It's on the sidewalk. It's like, you know, it's around. And you expect the garbage man's coming tomorrow or the next day to pick it up. Somebody walks by, trips over and gets hurt. Do you have to pay? It's called a bor b'rishut harabim. You left an obstacle. Somebody tripped over, got hurt. You should be chayav. This case, and a few similar ones, was discussed by Rav Tzvi Yehuda ben Yaakov. Rav Tzvi Yehuda ben Yaakov is probably one of the handful of experts in the world of Gittin nowadays in Eretz Yisrael, and the whole world really. He has 11 Svarim, nothing to do with Gittin, 11 Svarim all about Chosh and Mishpat cases. He's one of the Dayanim in Tel Aviv, and Rabbanut Beit Din in Tel Aviv. He's quite the experienced person. When we have questions in America about what to do, about, you know, this person is Jewish, is not Jewish, this person is a mamzer, is not a mamzer, this person chayav to that person or not, one of the addresses that we often turn to is Rav Tzvi ben Yaakov. I have me, the little simple one, me, the little guy in Kolo. I've also emailed him a few times, and he is unbelievable in that he responds within minutes. Even if he's in Israel and it's nighttime here. Unbelievable. This old man, starting in the 70s probably. He's really a monstrosity. He's unbelievable. So in volume 10 of Mishpatecha LeYaakov, which probably came out like 5 years ago, Rav Tzvi Yehuda ben Yaakov asked the following question. The guy says, the owner of the sechach says, I had permission to put it outside. That's what you do. You have a lot of garbage, you put it outside for garbage day. You're allowed to do that. Everyone knows, Motzei Sukkot, you put stuff out. I should be patur. I did it birishut. I did it with permission. When you do things with permission, the game changes. The game changes big time. So maybe I should be patur. And the other guy says, what are you talking about? You left an obstacle in the middle of the street. I tripped on it, bro. I got hurt on your schach. I drove my car over it. Whatever happened, I should be reimbursed for the damages you gave me. So Ben Yaakov goes through 3 points to get to the halacha. Point number one, Mishnah says that there are some cases where you can leave garbage outside. For example, if it's that time of year again in agrarian society, we have farms. We need to put manure on those farms. There's a time of year where we need to empty the manure or dry out the manure and do stuff with the manure, and we're allowed to put the manure in the Rishut HaRabim. That's what the Mishnah says in Bava Kama, in the third parak. And there's a whole discussion. What happens if somebody comes and gets hurt in the piles of manure? Do you have to pay him? Or are you patur because you were allowed to leave it outside? We hold. Now, first of all, you might not even be allowed to put it outside. But we hold that you are allowed to put it outside. Just, you have to pay for it. If somebody gets hurt on your stuff, it's your responsibility. You're allowed to put it there, but it doesn't mean you're free of any responsibility. You have to pay. So, you created a bor, b'rishut harabim. You know, that's something you have to be responsible for. That's point number one. That just because you are allowed to put it there, it doesn't mean that you're free. If anything happens. Point number two, Mishnah says in Perek HaManiach, we learned in Hank, right? Bava Kama and Hank, we learned in Perek HaManiach, the Beisma. Oh, where Mishnah says, HaManiach Rekad v'Rishut HaRabim, you leave a jug in the Rishut HaRabim, Uba Acher V'Nit Kalbo, and somebody comes and trips on it, and he gets hurt. If he breaks it, too bad, you lost, you left it there. But if he gets hurt on it, Bala Chavit Chaya, you are Chaya. Why? It's a Rishut HaRabim. What are you doing? Putting it there. Gemara says, what are you talking about? You should have looked where you were going. Who told you to just walk into it? Negakon, what are you doing? You can't drive and do nothing. You can't drive with your eyes closed. You have to know what you're doing also. Why am I responsible? Because I left my stuff out? So you should look. Don't drive over my stuff. Don't walk on my stuff. You're saying don't walk on the glass, but why did you leave glass in the middle of the street, right? Who told you you're allowed to leave glass in the middle of the street? Right? That's the point, right? So, Gemara says 4 answers of why telling the guy, look where you're going, is not good enough. Gemara says maybe it was really dark. Maybe the Gemara says he filled the entire street with drugs. You can't tell him to look where he's going. He has the right to go. And you didn't give him any space to go. You blocked the entire road. So he's allowed to go through, even if it means he's gonna break some of your stuff. And he ended up getting hurt, so you have to pay for it. Gemara says maybe it was a corner. You left it around the corner, he walked through the corner, he turned the corner, and he got hurt. There was no way he could have seen it because it was right around the corner. And Gemara says a fourth answer. That people don't look where they're going. It's not how people go. People don't look where they're going. Don't look where you're going? Yeah. Because when you don't look where you're going, what does that mean? People are looking. I'm a human being. I'm looking straight. I walk straight. I'm not looking down, says the Nimu Peyosef. I'm not looking down. I'm looking straight. So I'm not looking to see if there's a jug or something on the ground. I wouldn't notice anything if there was. That's why the Nimu Peyosef says, you're patur. If you walk and you don't see, I can't be expected to see what's on the ground. That's not my responsibility. You weren't even allowed to be there in the first place. Why would I have to pay for that? Others interpreted that people are so busy. They're always so focused on things. They're always deep in their thoughts. You can't expect them to also look down and see what's on the ground that they're going to go by. So, or you wouldn't have expected it to be there. For example, you know, you're learning in Kenisa, and there's a guy sitting over there all the way in the last row, and he's sitting on his laptop. His laptop is running out of battery, so he plugs it into the wall. You, relate to Minyan, come here 10:05. You run through the women's section, because this area is full of people, it's 10:10, it's in real Shmoneh Esrei sometimes, and that you run into the women's section, you want to come over there. So you run through those double doors, and you hit the laptop charger, trip over it, break his laptop, and get hurt. What's the halacha? No? Was he allowed to be there? Yeah. Were you supposed to be running through? No? Probably chayav. You probably have to pay him for the laptop and he doesn't have to pay you for your damages. Because, maybe no. Maybe he's supposed to be running to shul anyway. Everyone knows, 10:10 and people are running to Kenisa. You shouldn't have left a boar in the Rishud Rabbi. It depends on the Kenisa, depends on the circumstances. Now, that's the point. If Rishud Rabim is really irrelevant. It's, are you allowed to be there? It could be in someone else's house. If you're allowed to be there, then you are patur. If he's also allowed to be there, then you're both patur. He hurts you, he's patur. You hurt him, he's patur. So maybe he doesn't have to pay for the laptop either. All depends on the circumstances. If the Gabayim say, no plugging in laptops over there, and you do it anyway, guess what? You're not allowed to do it. So these are the considerations. So, in our situation, you could say that putting the schach is like the first case. Putting the manure, opening the sewage pipes to let out the sewage pipes into the Rishud HaRavim. You're allowed to do it, but you're still chayav for what happens. Or you could say, no, what are you expecting me to be there? It's like putting the kad. I can tell you should have looked where you're going. Which is a good answer, we hold. You're allowed to say, you should have looked where you're going. Only if you have permission to be there. But if you don't have permission to be there, like in the Rishud HaRabim, you do not have permission to leave your jug in the middle of the place, then the guy can say, I'm not expected to look where I'm going. That's not, people don't look where they're going. So you have these two opposing views. One idea, you're allowed to put something there, but you're responsible. The other one says, no. You're totally patur if you're allowed to be there. What's the difference? Some cases you're allowed to put it and you're chayav if something happens. Other cases you're allowed to put it and you're totally patur if anything happens because you had permission to put it there. What do you mean I had permission there too? It says Rabbi Yechezkel Abransky asks in Chazon Yechezkel, what's the difference? How come some cases you're allowed to and chayav, other cases you're allowed to and patur if something happens? It's very simple. The manure thing, how often does that happen? Once a year. Every once in a while. Not so common. That's why we let you do it this week. You're allowed to take it out, but you're still responsible. Whereas when the Gemara says, for example, people don't usually look where they're going, what's the Gemara's case? The Gemara's case is, unless they should have known better, because that place is different. Gemara's case is you have an olive press, and there's a big beam in the olive press, and it's like they leave it outside. and someone walks through the olive press and he falls and he gets hurt outside the olive press, whatever. This big beam, you fell on it. You're patur, because he should have known better that there's a big beam in the olive press. Says Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky, the olive press is there 365 days a year. It's kavua. It's stationed there. You should have known better. Not just, oh, this is take your manure out week. You don't need to know better about that. But the olive press, you know that there's an olive press there. You know, it's like, I should have known, like, if someone who grew up in Great Neck saying, I didn't know there was a red light on Old Mill Road and Middle Neck. I just drove straight. You should have known better. Like, that it's there. You grew up here. You knew better. Whereas a temporary road closure and you drove through it by accident, well, okay, wouldn't have known better. Yeah, things happen. You're not expected to. Just because they're allowed to do it doesn't mean that you're patur. So now, sechach. I leave my sechach outside. Was my sechach allowed to be outside? Yeah. Is it always outside all year long? No. Says Rav Yehuda ben Yaakov, chaya. You, Mr. Sechach owner, have to pay for the damages incurred because you weren't allowed to leave it there in the first place. So of course you're chaya for what happens there. Now there's one more Nekuda here. The Gemara Bava Kama says it's almost Chanukah, right? Right? After the story goes, some Hasidic Rebbe, the moment Sukkot is over, he gets his Chanukah menorah off the shelf and he puts it down on the table. He's getting ready. I had a Rebbe in Shalavim who thought that was a terrible story. Judaism is not holiday to holiday, it's every day. You should live every day. Don't just look forward to the holidays and you connect to Hashem. Every day is an opportunity to connect to Hashem. Chassidish Rebbe thought otherwise, whatever. Fine. So, the Gemara in Bava Kama says that if you have a camel that's riding through town, passes by somebody's house, and the guy has his menorah lit outside of his front door. Camel goes and knocks the candle down. The camel knocks the candle down. The entire house is in flames. Who is the owner of the camel have to pay for the damages or not? So, it's a machloket. We Tanakama Chachamim say Chayav, you have to pay for everything. And Rabbi Yehuda says Patur, don't have to pay. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say Patur? Well, why did the guy have his candle outside of his house on Chanukah? It's a mitzvah to put your Chanukah candles outside your house. He was doing a mitzvah. He had permission, reshut. Chachamim say, very nice you had reshut, but who told you you're Patur with that reshut? Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you are patur. It's Rishud that says you're patur also. Now, there's an amazing Rashba right there that answers our question. The Rashba writes on that Gemara and Bava Kama that Rabbi Yehuda was saying, Ner Chanukah is a mitzvah. What if I leave my sukkah outside of my house, real sukkahs outside of my house, and somebody crashes into my sukkah and breaks my sukkah? What's the halacha? Says the Rashba, right there on the daf, it couldn't be better, right? It's our case, almost our case. Says the Rashba, very simple. Ner Chanukah is a mitzvah. Sukkah is a mitzvah. It should be the same halacha, no? No. What does it mean, Ner Chanukah is a mitzvah? Ner Chanukah is a mitzvah? Lanicho befetach beito. To leave it at your door. Your sukkah can be in your backyard. Who told you your sukkah has to be in the front yard by the entrance? Nobody. Ner Chanukah mitzvah doesn't mean, reshut mitzvah doesn't mean, any mitzvah is okay. I can start doing any mitzvah now. I can tie my tzitzit in front of my house. I can burn my chametz in front of my house. I can do any mitzvah in front of my house. Only the mitzvah that has to be at their front door. There was a Rebbe in YU 50 years ago. His name is Rav Yerucham Gorelick. He was a student of the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav was probably a very stoic and heartless person, cold person. But Rav Yerucham Gorelick was not a brisker in that sense. He was such a colorful individual. He joked that he came... Huh? It might be a relative of his. I don't know if he was. I'm not sure. Probably lived in the Bronx or something. So Rav Gorelick said, when he came to Washington Heights from Europe, his beard was black and the community was white. And by the time he was getting older, his beard was white and the community was black. He had a lot of colorful lines. So one time, someone told me, the apocryphal story goes, that a boy in YU was walking through the Beit Midrash and his tzitziot were out. So an Ashkenazi boy. So the Gorella comes over to him. He's like, "Nu, what is this? Tzitzis out? What are you doing? Put them in." Mishnah Berurah says, "In." So, or out, whatever it was. He told him, "Put it in." So The boy tells Rav Gerelich, no, Rebbe, it's a mitzvah. Rebbe, I want to show the world I'm doing a mitzvah. He said, nu, bris mila. You want to show the world you're doing bris mila? Put it in. So just because it's a mitzvah doesn't mean it has to happen in your front door for the whole world to see. Put your sukkah in the backyard. Just because you're doing a mitzvah doesn't mean it should be dangerous. So the Rashba says exactly that. That ner mechanukah means front door. That's the mitzvah of Chanukah. But sukkah can be anywhere. It doesn't have to be right here. Put it on the porch, put it on the deck, put it in the backyard, put it in someone else's house. Who said it has to be here? So that's beautiful, right? It's almost amazing. But it really is irrelevant. Because we hold like the other opinion in the Mishnah. This was the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda who says you're patur. We hold like the Tanakhama who says you're chayav. Chachamim say you're chayav on Ner Chanukah also. Forget mitzvah. Mitzvah means you're allowed to put it outside. But you still have to be responsible. And otherwise you have to pay for the damages. So we hold either way. You put your sukkah outside, you're chayav. That's the halakha. There are other cases to talk about, you know, two cars hitting each other, people hitting each other, you know, playing soccer, Rav Ben Yaakov talks about, you hit someone in the face, whatever. But to keep it sukkah related, we discussed three cases today. We discussed, number one, the case of staying up all night and going driving, your chayav, for whatever damage is incurred because of your negligence, which ended up in an accident, but it was started off with your negligence. Number two, we discussed the hakafot on Simchat Torah. Any damages caused, you know, you broke the Torah, whatever happened, you hurt somebody, hit somebody, did something, you know, sober or drunk, it doesn't really matter. Shulchan Aruch says you are chayav. The Ramah says, like the Tirmat Hadeshin, that you are patur. What happens if an Ashkenazi hits a Sephardi or the vice versa? It's a great question, because it's not just because, oh, we always have to talk about this intersection. No, this is an important halacha. What happens if I hold X and I hold chayav, he holds patur? And we go to Beit Din, and he wants money from me, or I want money from him. The halacha is hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. Someone who wants to extract money bears the burden of bringing the proof. If you can't prove your case, I don't owe you any money. So, I was at a place with my kids the other day, and someone came to the counter, to the climbing place, whatever, and said, "Oh, I was at a different location, and I overpaid. Can you give me back the money?" Or discount me my thing, how much money I overpaid. The guy's like, let me ask the manager. The manager comes like, no, sorry, do you have any proof? No. So, can't help you. Imagine someone knocks on your door and says, you owe me money. Prove it. Prove it that you owe me the money. Here also, I hit you on Hanukkah, on Purim, right? I hit you on Hoshana Rabbah. You take me to Beit Din, and I'm Ashkenazi. You have to prove that I owe you the money. You might say, you hold like the Shulchan Aruch. I'll say, I hold like the Ramah. That's called Kim Li. I believe that the Ramah is right. And therefore I'm Patur. And you can do this throughout Choshen Mishpat, with all the different cases and opinions. That's why you have to know all the opinions. Because if the other guy can say, I hold like the other opinion, it might be Patur. You might not have to pay. That was case number two that we talked about. Finally, case number three. We discussed the case of the Sechach left outside. The damage is caused by the schach left outside. We said even if you had permission to leave it there in the first place, it doesn't mean that you are absolved of any responsibility of damages that could happen because of it. Even you have permission to leave it there, but you do not have permission to be totally patur. And that we'll discuss Be'ezrat Hashem on Chanukah, maybe some other halachot. But for now, these are some interesting dinei mamonot questions that come up with damages involving Sukkot. And everyone should be safe and careful. Ezad Hashem, this Sukkot. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen v'amen. Okay. Any questions? We're good? No minyan. No minyan. Maybe after next class.